The opening psukim of Perek Bet are very familiar to all of us because we read them every year during the Musaf service on Rosh Hashanah. We'll read them quickly to refresh our memory. This was the word of God to Yirmiyahu. Haloch v'karata bo'znei Yerushalayim lemor. Go and call out to the ears of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim saying, Ko amar Hashem, this is the word of God. Zacharti lach chesed yoraych. I remember the chesed, the kindness of your youth, avat klulotayich, a love between groom and bride, lechtech achrei b'midbar, when you followed me into the desert, be'eretz lo zera, in the land, into the desert, which was not planted, a land that normal things don't grow in. We know this pasuk, we say it every time in Musaf, it's a very famous song, but what is its context here in Yirmiyahu? To explain what's going on, we have to return to what we talked about in our previous share, and to try to show that the opening three psukim of Perek Bet really belong in Perek Aleph. To support this approach, simply take a look at the Haftarah of Parshat Matot and Maseh, which are the beginning of the 3 weeks prior to Tisha B'Av. The first 2 weeks of the 3 weeks we read from these first two chapters of Yirmiyahu, but the first Haftarah begins in Perek Aleph, but continues up through Perek Bet Pasuk Gimel. And the next Haftarah, for the next week, for the second week of the 3 weeks, begins in Pasuk Dalet with Shimu Dvar Hashem Beit Yaakov. So there already is a proof that first three lines of Perek Bet really belong in Perek Aleph. Another proof we talked about in our Shir in Perek Aleph, that each of the Parshiot in Perek Aleph all begin with the same phrase, Vahid Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor, both in Pasuk Dalet, in Pasuk Yed Aleph, and Pasuk Yed Gimel, and now in the opening Pasuk of Perek Bet. Thematically, we can support this as well by trying to understand how this statement of Yirmiyahu is going to fit in to what was being discussed in Perek Aleph. In the first chapter, first God appoints Yirmiyahu as a Navi, and telling Yirmiyahu that even though you think you're not ready yet to become my Navi, I'm going to prove to you that you're ready. And he gives him his vision. And in the two visions he receives, the first vision is about the Makel Shaked, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu what I'm about to bring, this punishment that I'm about to bring, is going to come very soon. And in the second vision of the Sir Nefuach, he identifies a nation coming from the north, most likely referring to Bavel. They will be the nation who's going to come and bring this punishment upon Am Yisrael. But even though we all have the impression that Yirmiyahu is coming to predict destruction, our claim was that Yirmiyahu is coming to prevent that destruction. God indeed is telling the people that if you don't repent properly, I'm about to bring an enemy from the north that's going to punish you. But Yirmiyahu's first job is going to be to warn the people as this enemy approaches from the north. Hopefully, this will cause the Jewish people to return to God, to listen to Yirmiyahu, and hopefully that can prevent the Churban, that can prevent both the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and prevent the exile. If that's true, if Yirmiyahu's mission is not simply to predict what will happen, but to prevent what might happen, then this opening line is very important. It's for Yirmiyahu to call to the people and tell them that God remembers the very beginning of this relationship which Nevi'im always compare between God and Israel to that of a groom and a bride. God says, I remember that relationship. And that's what Zichronot is about on Rosh Hashanah as well. When we are supposed to remember God and God remembers us, it's remembering the very essence of the relationship. What we have to remember is the purpose of our relationship with God is to serve Him, to represent Him. And without a reason, God would not bring a punishment upon His people. God is looking forward to be kind to His people, to help His people out so that they can help Him. Therefore, to prevent destruction from happening, it's Yirmiyahu's job to remind Am Yisrael that the very basis of the relationship is still there. And if Am Yisrael is willing to return to the sincerity and to the love of God, like they showed when they first came out of Egypt, God would be willing to forgive them and stop that destruction. Therefore, this reminder, I remember our relationship from its very inception. Remember that it's still possible to return to that, but that would require very deep commitment to God and repentance from all your evil ways. In other words, these final lines of Yirmiyahu's Nevot HaKdashah are not coming to contradict his opening line that God's going to bring destruction. God told Yirmiyahu, I'm going to bring an enemy from the north that's going to set a siege, in the hope that Am Yisrael will now repent based on the warnings that you give them. But it's also important to tell the people that God's willing to return to you, just like a husband is always willing and ready to receive his bride back if she's willing to return to that commitment and that ideal relationship. And that's why these psukim in our Rosh Hashanah davening are so important, because they relate to the very essence of our covenant and our relationship with God. These last words end in Pasuk Gimel with Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Am Yisrael is designated, is separated. Doesn't mean just holy, but God designated the Jewish people to serve Him. This concept begins at Har Sinai, when God tells Am Yisrael, "Atem tiulim amlechet koni v'goy kadosh." If you serve me, accept my covenant, you'll be a nation set aside to represent me. Reshit tfuata, Just like someone takes the beginning of their produce and sets it aside and treats it in a special way, so too, we were the nation that God set aside and entered a special relationship with. Therefore, ko ochlav yashamu. Anyone who tries to eat it, who tries to harm it, will be found guilty. God will make sure to punish our enemies. Ra'at tavo elemnu mashem. If indeed, as Yirmiyahu will explain later on, if a nation comes and does harm to us, they'll be punished for what they do wrong. On the other hand, Yirmiyahu is going to point out, just as Yishayahu did, that sometimes God will use these other enemies and use them as his whip to punish us, even though the nation that's punishing us may not be so worthy of that victory. Sometimes God will use that nation as his whip. Afterwards, that nation will receive their punishment as well. We'll see that later on in chapter 25 in Yirmiyahu. In this sense, these first three psukim of Perek Bet belong in the Nevuat HaKdasha of Perek Aleph, and they conclude God's opening words to Yirmiyahu, which on the one hand, he's telling Yirmiyahu, tell the people, punishment is around the corner. A new nation, a new superpower is on the rise, and they may come and destroy you. But I'm going to give you one last chance to repent, to return to me, to return to that ideal relationship that we had when coming out of Egypt. And this is your last chance to prevent the Churban. We're going to begin now with Pasuk Dalet, where the next unit begins, with Shimu Dvar Hashem Beit Yaakov, the Chomish Pot Beit Yisrael, a call to listen to the word of God. And the call is to the house of Yaakov and the families of the house of Israel. Both as Beit Yaakov and Beit Yisrael reminds us of Mamad Har Sinai, where God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Tamar, the Beit Yaakov, v'taked Bnei Yisrael. Being called both Beit Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael at the same time reminds us of the theme of Mamad Har Sinai. Here the theme will be that God's people is now breaking that covenant that they made at Har Sinai. God remembers that covenant. God wants Am Yisrael to return to that covenant. The Navi's complaint here will be that Am Yisrael has abandoned that covenant and are not turning to God in a time of trouble. But we're going to suggest when we go over these psukim that this may not be referring to the time period of Yoshiel. As we saw in the last year, Yirmiyahu began his career in the 13th year of Yoshiel. As Yoshiel was beginning this movement of repentance, most likely we suggest that it's Yirmiyahu behind that movement. And at that time, Yoshiel wipes out idol worship. In Perek Gimel Pasuk Vav, in chapter 3, verse 6, we're going to see another header, which begins, V'yomer Hashem Elai b'mei Yoshiel HaMelech. There'll be a vision of God to Yirmiyahu during the time of Yoshiel, which allows us to suggest that maybe everything up until that point, meaning from chapter 2, verse 4 until chapter 3, verse 5, may be an earlier prophecy where God is angry with his people for how they've abandoned their God and followed other gods. This could apply to the time period of Menasheh. It could apply to the time period of Ammon. It could even apply to the time period of the early years of Yoshiel before he returned to God, when he was young and other people were running the country. What we're going to suggest is that this Nevuah is going to set the background for Yirmiyahu's mission to try to prevent the destruction. But here we're going to explain why God is so angry with his people since the time of Menasheh. We should point out now that in the book of Melachim Bet, Perachav Aleph, in the 21st chapter of Melachim, God was so angry with what Menasheh did. Menasheh was angry with God and he closed down the temple. And God, in return, was very angry with him. There was a gzar din, there was a decree from God that the fate of Yerushalayim is sealed. And the same fate that happened to Shomron, its destruction and exile of its people, is going to befall on Yerushalayim as well. Then we saw how that final stage of destruction was put off because Menasheh returned to God and did tshuva. We saw those details in the book of Divrei Hayamim, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. What we're going to see is just like in an earlier time, during the time of Menasheh, there was a threat of destruction, but a movement of repentance was able to stall that threat, at least put it off for several decades. We're going to see a return of that threat in the early years of Yoshiel, before Yirmiyahu begins his career, before Yoshiel himself returns to God and leads the people in tshuva. And this may be the nevuah which initiated that original tshuva movement. This rebuke of Am Yisrael for following other gods, which again we're going to suggest may be relating to the early years of Yoshiel before Yoshiel returns to God, or maybe similar to the time period of Menasheh and Ammon when they left God. Pasuk Hay, verse 5. Ko Amar Hashem, Ma Matzu Avotechem Bi'Avel, Ki Rachuku Mi'Alai. God's complaining to his people, what did your forefathers find wrong in me, that they abandoned me? They followed emptiness, they followed nothingness, referring to the other gods. When they were in trouble, instead of turning to the God who chose them, they don't turn to me and pray. Instead, they turn to all these other gods. God doesn't understand why. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. V'lo amru hayah Hashem hamaleh otanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. They didn't start asking, where's the God who knows how to take care of us? There was a God who took us out of Egypt, who took us through a desert that no one can survive in. Nonetheless, we survived, thanks to God's help. Again, V'lo amru hayah Hashem hamaleh otanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, hamolich otanu b'midbar, be'eretz arava, v'shucha, be'eretz tziyah v'tzamavet, be'eretz lo'avar ba'ish, lo'yashav adam sham. a very long description of how difficult life is in the desert. Nonetheless, despite all those difficulties and dryness and lack of water, God was able to sustain his people through the desert. Am Yisrael, knowing their history, should know that God is capable of helping them when they're in trouble, like he did when they came out of Egypt. Nonetheless, they don't turn to him. Not only did God take care of them in the desert, the Pasuk Zayin, V'avi etchem ha'eretz ha'karmel, I brought you to a fruitful land. Eretz ha'karmel is not simply Haifa. Eretz ha'karmel is a whole mountain range of Israel where you can grow trees and that has good produce. L'echol piryah v'tuvah, to eat its good fruit and its goodness. God did all that for you. And what did you do? V'tavo'u v'tatamu et arzi. You came in and you defiled my land. V'nachlati samtem l'tueva. My inheritance, the inheritance that I set aside for you to represent me, to follow my laws, instead you made that an abomination. Primarily, by the way, God's people acted. V'kohanim, the priests who served in the Beit HaMikdash, who served in the temple, lo amru ayi Hashem. They didn't ask questions, where's the God who took us out of Egypt? V'tofseh Torah lo yidoni. Those who were carrying the Torah, those teaching the Torah, the teachers, the rabbis of the time, didn't know God. That phrase, to know God, we'll discuss it in later shiurim in Yirmiyahu. We're going to see that when Yirmiyahu talks about knowing God, it talks about the acts of tzedek u'mishpat. To know God means to act in an ethical way. We'll have to dedicate a full shiur to that later on, most likely in Perek Tet. V'haro'im pashubi, your shepherds, your leaders, they rebelled against me. V'hanevim nibu b'val, the prophets, instead of prophesizing and explaining the word of God to the people, they gave prophecies in the name of Baal. V'achrid lo yilu halachu, and they followed things that wouldn't be able to help them. Now, who are these Nevi'im? Are these Nevi'im of Baal? Or is he referring to the Nevi'im of God and accusing them of being like Nevi'im of Baal? I'm going to introduce this topic briefly in this year. This will be a topic which we'll have to study in much more depth as we continue. Avodat Baal, on a technical level, is worshipping a Canaanite god called Baal, which most likely is a rain god, very well known in the culture of the ancient Middle East. But the Baal is also representative of a type of worship of God where the person worshipping the god is interested in what's in it for him. The rain god is needed by man because man needs water. He needs rain, water for himself to drink, water for his crops to grow. He knows it doesn't rain every day, it doesn't rain whenever he wants. And therefore, it looks like there's some god or some power that controls the rain, and there's some ritual that we need to do in order for that god to give rain. The service of Baal represents the idea that the service of God is motivated by what's in it for man. What can I get out of it? Someone can believe in the God of Israel. He can believe that the God of Israel is the God who brings the rain. But when the very nature of his relationship, the reason why he serves God, the reason why he brings korbanot, is in order to get the rain, but he's not interested in the essence of the relationship to represent God, we're going to see how Yirmiyahu accuses those whose relationship with God is only relating to what's in it for me, but are not interested in acting in a way that they represent God. Yirmiyahu is going to call their service of God Avodat Baal. Again, we'll have to dedicate a much more detailed shiur to that topic. Lachain, because of your poor behavior, because you haven't turned to me in trouble, and because you've been teaching my Torah in an improper fashion, Lachain, odariv itchem numashem. Pasuk Tet. I'm going to quarrel with you, I'm going to argue with you, that b'nei b'nechem ariv, and your children and the next generation, I'm going to argue with you, make my point, why I'm angry with you. God's next complaint is going to be, why did you abandon me, while almost no other nation abandons their gods? Almost every nation has their special gods, their local gods, and they're very dedicated to those gods, even though those gods have no power at all. And you have the true God, the right God, and you abandoned me. In other words, nations who have gods who have no real power are not abandoned by their people, and the nation of Israel has a true God, a real God, they go ahead and they abandon their God. And that's the Navi's question now, in the next set of psukim. Kivru iye kitim, uru. V'kidar shechu v'itbonenu me'od, uru hein hayta kazot. Travel all the different islands, all the different places. Check all the different nations and see, has anything like this ever happened? Ha'imir goy Elohim, ve'hema lo Elohim. Did any of these nations switch their God for another? And their gods are not even true gods. Va'mi, my nation, who has a real God, ha'imir kvodo b'lo yo'yom. They took the relationship with the glorious God, with the true God, and they switched it for something which was worthless. Shomu shamay mazot, v'saru charvu mo'od, num Hashem. This type of behavior, the Navi says, should cause a storm, should cause the heavens to tremble. How could such a thing be? Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kishtayim ra'ot asami. Two terrible things my people did. Oti azvu makor ma'im chayim. They abandoned me, a source of water. Lachtsov lehem borot, borot nishbarim asher lo yachilu hamayim. To understand this pasuk, we have to understand three different ways which a person can get water in the land of Israel. The best way to get water is to go to a spring gushing with water, no effort. You go there and you take the water straight. Another way is to dig a be'er, to dig down into a well and tap the aquifer and bring the water up, like our forefathers did. Many stories in Sefer Bereshit talk about that. Another way to store water is to dig a cistern or a bore where I dig a hole in the ground. And then when it rains, the rainwater will fill up that bore. But if you don't dig that bore carefully, if you don't dig that cistern properly, and it has cracks in it, no matter how much water goes in, it won't keep the water inside. And therefore, the Navi says, you had a chance to bring water from a Makor Mayim Chaim, from like a spring, and instead, you went to get water from a cistern that was cracked, that couldn't even hold water. And therefore, the abandonment of God, which is compared to a source of fresh water, which has all the water you need, and instead going to other gods, which have nothing inside, that may appear to hold water, but really are cracked and can't hold water, the Navi compares that to the behavior of Am Yisrael towards their God. Pasuk Yudalad, verse 14, Ha'evid Yisrael, is my nation a slave, a servant? Imidli Baitu, is he a son of a slave? Madu Haya Lavaz, why behave in such a terrible way? Alav Yishagu Kfirim, Latnu Kolam, about this terrible situation that Am Yisrael has put themselves in, the way they're acting, baby lions cry out with their voice, how could such a thing be? Ve'eshitu Arza L'Shama, Arav needs to mibli yoshev. Their behavior has caused the land to become desolate and destroyed, and its cities without any inhabitants. In other words, this bad behavior following other gods is what's caused God in the last several decades to bring, most likely here it's referring to the rise of Ashur and the exile of the 10 tribes and destruction of most of the cities of Yehuda. Most likely it's referring to that destruction, and that's happening because people had left the true God and followed other gods. Pasuk Tetzayin, Gam b'nei no fetach manches. Back at that time, the people in Yehuda were hoping that Egypt would be their ally. And here the Navi tells them, even your potential allies in Egypt, in the cities of Nof and Tachpanches, they're going to come and break your heads. Halozot taselach. This is the price you're paying for what you did wrong. For what did you do? Azvechet Hashem Elohaich. You abandoned your God, Beit Molechech Badarach. He guided you, he walked you through the way, he was taking care of you, and you abandoned him. Bata, now, when Am Yisrael is in trouble, they're constantly torn. Who should we go to? Who should we ally ourselves with? Should we ally ourselves with Egypt, represented here by the Nile River, Lishtot Mei Shichor? Or should we ally ourselves with Ashur, where we have the Euphrates River, Lishtot Mei Nahar? And during this whole time, God is telling his people, I can take care of you, I can help you, return to me, and I can bring you salvation. Instead, Am Yisrael has abandoned God, running after other nations, and not recognizing that all they need to do is turn to their own God, and he could save them. In the next pasuk, the Navi tells them, you brought this upon yourself. Tiasrech ra'atech, your own evil, brought these yisurim on you. Umeshuvataych tochichech, udiu ri ki ra v'mar, azvechet Hashem Elohaych. You should recognize, you're leaving God, that's what brought all this trouble upon you. V'lo pacharati elaych, num Hashem Elohim tzvot. But despite all that, you did not fear me at all. All this punishment that brought upon you did not cause you to turn around and fear God. It's here Yirmiyahu's hope that the new situation that they're now facing, with Babel coming in, will get them to return to God. But he's telling them in the past, all these punishments did not get the point across, maybe now it will. Now God has to explain how I've always been there, ready to accept your return, if you would only turn to me. Kim yolam, pasachav, shabbat yolech, nitachti mosrotaych. In the past, I've always been able to break the yoke of those who oppress you. The next phrase is a little difficult. Vatomri lo avor, there's a kriyum ktiv. Either it's saying vatomri lo avod, despite that you said I'm not going to serve you anymore, or maybe Radak explains I'm not going to break your commandments anymore, in hope they're going to return. Nonetheless, kal kol givah gvoha v'tachat koitz ranan at soazana. Despite all this, you still go to every high place, to every high hill, and you bow down to these other gods. V'nochi, even though you're going to all these different places, I planted you perfectly. V'anochi netatich sorek. I planted you straight and perfect. Kulo zer emet. Your seed was perfect and straight. But who's to blame now? You grew up in a bad way, just like Yishayahu's Mashal HaKerem. Chapter 5 in Yishayahu, we talked about the same idea, comparing Am Yisrael to a vine planted by a farmer who, when it's taken care of properly, should give its fruit in the proper time. And now, God planted his people properly in the land. They didn't grow the way they should have, and they became a wild vine. In the next pasuk, in Pasuk Chabet, we're going to compare the sins of Am Yisrael here to a stain on a piece of clothing that can't come out with regular detergent. Kim tichapsi badeter, with a strong detergent, v'tarbilach borit, Ichtam avonech lefanai. Your sin is a stain in front of me. Nu Hashem Elohim. God's saying, you're not able to get rid of that. Ech tomri lo nitmeti. How can you say I did nothing wrong? Achrei abalim lo halachti. How can you answer me back that I'm following God, that I'm not following these other gods? Read that. Kech bagai, look where you are. Look what you've been doing. Dim asit, understand what you've done. Bichrak kala, misarechet racheha. Here the Navi compares Am Yisrael following these other gods like a female young camel running after any male mate that she can find. This comparison of Am Yisrael to a female animal running after her lovers is going to continue now in the next pasuk. Pasuk of Dalet, Pera limud midbar, this wild donkey living in the desert. Bavat nafsha shafa ruach, tanatam yishibana. No one can fulfill her need for a male partner. Komo vakshe lo yafu, any male who wants to catch her won't have any trouble at all. Bechotsha yimtzauna. Mini raglech miyachef, ugronech mitzima, vatamri no ash, lo ki afti zarim, vachare amelech. That's telling these people, you don't have to go after all these other gods. I can provide you with what you need. But you said no. I want to go after these other gods. Pasach avav, kavoshet ganav, ki matze, kein havishu b'nei Yisrael. Heima machem v'sareyam v'choneyam v'nevihem. This is when a person is caught stealing, that look on his face, the busha, the shame, and they've realized they've been caught. That's the shame that Am Yisrael have now. Their kings, their ministers, their priests, and the prophets. Omrim la'etz aviata. That piece of wood is a symbol of their father. Here the Navi is making fun of idol worship. You make these idols, they're only representing things, and you treat them as though they have powers. You turn your neck to me, and not your face. But when things are bad, all of a sudden they tell God, you're following all these other gods, and now the trouble comes, now you're asking for help. Where are the gods that you made for yourself? Yakumu, let them come and help you. Im yishoucha beit ratecha. Can they help you when things are bad for you? Ki mispar arecha hayu alecha Yehuda. Just like you had so many cities, so too you had so many gods. After this very harsh rebuke of Am Yisrael for the way they've abandoned their own God and followed other gods instead, now the Navi is going to complain about why the people think that they've done something wrong. Lama tirivu alai kuchem pashatem binu Hashem. Why are you arguing with me? Why do you think I'm not helping you? All of you have rebelled against me. All this damage I brought upon you, all the bad things that happened in the time of Menashe, and later in the time of Ammon, did I do that for nothing? Musar lo lokacho. You didn't take musar from it. You didn't take rebuke from that properly. Your prophets who were warning you, who were telling you to improve, you didn't listen to them. Instead, you tried to kill them. Hadoratem ru'u dvar Hashem. Hamidbar hayti l'Yisrael im eretz mafeleha. Madu amru amir radnu, lo navo olelecha. Have I been like a desert? Have I been empty to you? Have I not provided you with anything? Why is my people saying, I'm leaving you? Lo navo olelecha od. We're not going to come to you again. Hatishkach betulei adia kala kishoreha. A young bride always remembers her husband. And you don't remember your God. Vamishchechuni yamim in mispar. My nation has forgotten me for too many years. Elam gemo mate tibi darkech labakesh ahava. You're always making yourself pretty to find other gods. It's very difficult to translate this last phrase, but even these bad things that you're doing, you're teaching others these bad ways. Even in the corners of your garments, you can find the blood of innocent poor people. Not in a hidden way. You're doing things that are so bad, you're causing poor people to die. You're responsible for their blood. But Tomri, in response to that, what do you answer this rebuke? You people think you're better now. God's anger is away from me. God's going to judge you for your saying that I haven't sinned. How quickly do you cheapen yourself to follow these other nations? You're going to Egypt now, thinking they can help you. The Navi tells him, just like you embarrass yourself by going to Ashur, you're going to embarrass yourself by turning now to Egypt. When you come back from Egypt thinking they're going to help you, you're going to come back with your hands on your head in despair. God has abandoned those who you put your trust in, and they won't be able to help you. For some reason, the chapter stops here. We'll continue with these psukim in our next year, as Paragimel begins here in the middle of the topic. But if we'd like to summarize what we've seen, Yirmiyahu is rebuking the people for not recognizing their need to turn to God when they're in trouble. They're turning to Mitzrayim, just like earlier they turned to Ashur. And whenever Am Yisrael is in trouble, they're constantly looking for a source of salvation from somewhere else. And Yirmiyahu is telling them, all you need to do is return to your own God to follow Him properly, and He can save you.